This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dan Pizzuto, writer for the 33rd team, fresh off his sister's wedding in Australia. Dan, first of all, we must know, how was Australia?
It was good. It was nice. It's very nice. It is probably the least convenient time zone to be trying to watch American sports at the same time. So that was a little bit of a struggle. But outside of that, it was a lot of fun. Had a great time.
How did you attack that? Did you try to watch them live, or did you just give in to the time zone and be like, I'm going to enjoy Australia. I'm going to tape what I need to tape or know that it's available to me on demand, and I'll get up tomorrow and watch this stuff.
It was a little bit of both. So I think the early afternoon games were starting, I think, at like 3 a.m. So I was making zero attempt to watch those live. So I went back to it. Primetime games are about 3 p.m. So I got there on a Thursday, was able to watch, some Thursday night games live in the afternoon, which was very nice. A little bit of both, but did not go out of my way to catch these games live. So it was a lot of, spending time. We were getting, other people in the family were getting ready for dinner and things, was going back and watching, some recaps, watching some All-22 and trying to figure it out that way.
Yeah. Also your sister, I'm sure you're like, we're getting married in the middle of football season. Like, why'd you have to, the rest of the year is available, but I'm glad everything went well. Glad to have you back on the show. I hope the wedding was great, and let's talk some football. The Commanders, speaking of Thursday Night Football, last time we saw our heroes, they were facing the Philadelphia Eagles, who are playing incredible football right now. And I think a lot of fans here in D.C. have been kind of wondering, is Jaden hurt? Is this a Cliff Kingsbury regression? And my retort to that has kind of been, that looked like an offense playing the current version of the Eagles defense. Where do you fall on that scale of that was something that the Commanders were doing or not doing or flawed in some way versus this is an Eagles defense that is playing as some of the best football of any defense in the league right now?
Yeah, I think I sort of lean toward that ladder. And I think you can kind of even go back to the Steelers game, too. I think just in the way the Commanders have been these past 2 weeks, with whether, Jaden is playing at 100% or not, these are probably the two best defenses they've played in kind of back-to-back games in a situation where this offense wasn't completely at full strength. So I kind of look at what they've done the past 2 weeks as kind of falling into that territory. When you go to the Eagles game, this was, just a team that was just set up really well to be kind of countering what Washington wanted to do. They were kind of, it was, the Fangio system where this front four was getting a lot of penetration. They were sitting in light boxes where these linebackers were just able to rally to the ball and not allow really anything to break through the second level. You had the secondary. They were playing a whole bunch of, too high, which wasn't going to allow the Commanders to throw deep down the field. So when you just kind of had all of that playing together and you just have this Philadelphia defense that really just in execution wise is really pulling off a lot of the things that they need to. It was probably just, this defense playing as good as they could against an offense that probably just wasn't really going at 100%.
So the other thing that I would ask, Dan, for someone with your perspective who watches all 22 around the league, is how unique is what Philly does? Because we know Fangio is kind of the godfather of this zone match, quarters match system. And obviously, if the guy who invented the thing is teaching you how to do it, probably a good chance that you do it better than anyone else. And for Washington to get that on a short week with a rookie quarterback seems like a particularly bad draw. But is that something that Jaden would have seen in other places, or is what Philly's doing still fairly unique to Fangio?
So it's a little unique to what Fangio is doing right now, because even his system has changed a little bit with what he's been doing in Philly. Because, back when we even started, the Fangio kind of defensive revolution that was going around the league, you know, it was a lot of two high shells, but then it would kind of rotate and go into like a single high coverage. Fangio would still play a whole bunch of, you know, cover three, which would still be just, you know, one deep safety once the snap was given. So now he is playing a lot of, you know, two high coverages. So it's some, a little bit of cover two. It's a lot of quarters. It's a lot of cover six, which are just kind of matching with a bunch of different coverages that, you know, Jaden hasn't been seeing quite as often. And then you just have players that are playing at an extremely high level. You have that front four right now. I think Jalen Carter's probably been one of the best defensive players in the league in the way he can just kind of take over an entire line from that interior spot. I think you have those two linebackers that are playing really well that allows them to play in light boxes where they can just kind of play downhill so quickly. I think both Bond and N'Kobe Dean are just playing really well. So you have this system that is working well, that has some tweaks in it, and then you also have these players that are just also playing at a high level.
Yeah, the team speed definitely showed up. Dan Pizzuta, 33rd team with us here on the Hoffman Show. What is it about the Pittsburgh and Philadelphia approaches that not just limited Jaden Daniels as a runner, but specifically as a scrambler? Like, it's one thing to shut down some of the design run games. Pittsburgh kind of just said, we're going to run at you on zone read stuff and make you hand the football off. That becomes pretty, you know, self-explanatory as to why then he's not keeping it. Against Philly, they had a couple of looks, and Philly did some similar stuff, but also just did a good job on like quarterback draws and things. But the scrambling is something that he's been able to do against everybody else, where he's able to just create out of structure. What did Philly and Pittsburgh do, in your opinion, that was so effective in limiting him to his literal worst two rushing games of the season?
Yeah, I think with Pittsburgh, they definitely put in an effort to get those, either whether it was the edge rushers just kind of containing that edge, or having the linebackers kind of sit and be ready for it. Like, that was a big, heavy part of the Pittsburgh game plan, where they were just not going to allow Jaden to run at all. And they were playing a ton of man coverage behind it. So they really had to put that effort into keeping him in the pocket, because usually when you have, you know, a mobile quarterback and playing against man coverage, that can be very dangerous, because so many players are so many defenders have their back to the quarterback. That's when you see a lot of these big runs. So because they were playing so much man, that had some tight windows that Jaden kind of had to throw into. But because they were playing so much man, they really put an effort in some of those edge rushers and the second level defenders to kind of crowd around the line, be kind of that spy, not allow him to get out of the pocket. And Philly, it was, you know, partly those linebackers were there too, but it was a lot of, you know, the pressure also. And it was just a lot of this, you know, the too high too, just had Jaden kind of checking down a lot. He had, I think, his lowest average depth of target of the season. He was not trying to, you know, push the ball down the field. Actually, just wrote about the Commanders today. And, you know, when you look at even plays that were over 2.5 seconds from weeks 1 through 9, you know, Jaden was scrambling nearly 24% of the time on plays that lasted 2.5 seconds or more. It was only 10% over the past 2 weeks. So I think that could potentially be, you know, something where he might still be recovering from that rib injury a little bit. Not that it is really like taking him away from some of the throws, but it might just be him, you know, playing a little safer in the pocket and not trying to extend quite as much, because the way he was even looking to extend when he had those opportunities was so much different. So I think it plays a little bit of both, where these were two defenses that were definitely trying to not allow him to do that. And I think Jaden himself a little bit was not as, you know, quick to try to get to his legs in order to make some of those extended plays as he has been earlier in the season.
Again, Dan Pizzuta, 33rd team, if you want to check out his work, including the article he wrote today about the Commanders and their offense. On the defensive side of the football, Dan, this defense is really hard for me to evaluate right now, so I'm curious how you try to make sense of it. And obviously, like, the process is the same. You watch all the snaps, and you're like, all right, that was good, that was bad, that was good, that was bad. And the consistency with which they've been good for about 50 to 55 minutes over the last month and a half is pretty high. It's basically every game. And then at the end, there's been a variety of different things that have gone wrong, from big runs to big pass plays to sustained drives, think of the Chicago game late. how do you try to make sense of this defense? And like the kind of quintessential sports talk radio question, are they a good defense? Because there's long stretches where they are, and then the numbers by the end of 60 minutes, which is how long they play, would maybe suggest otherwise. How do you make sense of what the Commanders are on that side of the ball right now?
Yeah, I don't mean toward they are more good than bad, which is for Washington, that's a great thing to have. You know, it would be a little better if the, you know, you would be able to have some of the ups and downs on defense, which I think is normal for a defense. That wouldn't feel, you know, quite as drastic if the offense had played, you know, a little better over the past two games, and you didn't have to kind of rely on, you know, having a great defense for a full game, which is very hard for a lot of teams to do. But when you look at, you know, the past since, you know, week seven, Washington right now is fourth in EPA per dropback, which is they're playing like some really good, you know, pass defense. They're struggling against the run, which puts them just 12th in EPA per play kind of overall. So there are, you know, some of those little, you know, hiccups that have taken them. But the way I think their pass defense has evolved over the past couple of weeks is definitely something that you can be optimistic for. And I think that'll continue, you know, if Marshawn Lattimore ever gets healthy. Also, you know, you add a cornerback like that on the field, and I think there is definitely going to be more reason to be optimistic for how this defense has, you know, really progressed over the season, then, and that allows you to kind of overlook some of the bad parts that have kind of allowed them to, you know, be some big plays on that side of the field. And then you kind of expect the offense could potentially, you know, score a couple more points and kind of rebound a little bit, so where you won't have to be relying on that defense in these close games quite as often too.
If we go a little more granular on the run defense, I think it becomes pretty interesting, because the numbers obviously capture the entire picture because that's what the numbers are. But snap in, snap out, I feel like they're pretty good. And then obviously the Saquon runs at the end of the Philly game just absolutely are going to change the numbers. You know, but even against Pittsburgh, like it took 43 carries for them to get their 140 yards. Like snap in, snap out, that's pretty good. And I'm curious, when you evaluate the process for Washington against the run, like, do you like what they're trying to do and they just need to be able to do it for a full 60 minutes? Or if you're an opposing offensive coordinator, are you like, we know we can get yards on the ground if we need to, in which case they are definitively, to put a kind of qualitative tag on it, a bad run defense?
Yeah, it's probably, again, it's not a fun sports radio answer, but it's probably, you know, a little bit of both. Like they are still doing, you know, some good things. At some point, they're not giving up, you know, a huge rate of explosive plays that are below the league average there when you kind of do look granularly. The one thing is right now they are, you know, 29th in yards before contact per rush, you know, since week seven, which is kind of around where this turnaround started a little bit. So there are still some areas where they are kind of allowing a little bit of penetration at that first level, but they are, when they're playing well, that run fit is kind of happening from the second level. They are able to get there. That just hasn't been quite as consistent. But again, it's kind of one of those things, like, given how I think really the focus was getting that pass defense much better in the earlier part of the season because of how many explosive plays they were giving up on that side of the ball. I think that was definitely a priority to getting the execution there first. Now that they have that fixed a little bit, I could probably see them, you know, trying to try a couple more things in the run defense now that they don't have to worry about, you know, giving up a 20-yard play every time someone drops back like we might have been worried about earlier in the season. So I think the run defense can kind of, you know, live with some of that shakiness a little bit. But when they are playing well, I think there is still some high level play there. And especially when you think about, you know, how they've kind of given up some talent on that interior part of the line, I think there are some guys stepping up. So I don't think it's going to be quite as big of a concern going forward.
Yeah, that yards before contact stat is so confirming, I guess, based off the film, because there's so many times where I'm watching it and I go, that felt like a pretty good play. And then the film goes to the next snap and it was a first and 10. It's like, oh, it's second and six. I feel like they made the tackle, right? Like, Luvu was right there at the line of scrimmage. Wagner was right there. It's like, oh, the line of scrimmage got moved 4 yards. That's not good. That's not good at all. And so that I think is a really illustrative way of kind of how a lot of this info comes together, how this data, how the film, you know, all jives together in terms of, okay, yeah, there's some stuff that they're doing well. Guys are fitting stuff okay. But if the whole first level of the defense just gets moved, then the good tackling and the good run fits are happening at a place where you're still giving up more than you'd want to.
Right. And so right now they're about league average. They're 16th since that week 7 cutoff that I had in yards after contact per attempt. So they're fitting kind of well. But what also goes into it, they're not kind of combining that with negative plays in the run game. So since that time, only 14.7% of runs against them have gone for 0 or negative yards. And that's 31st in the league. Only Carolina has been worse. So they're not getting some of those big plays on the other end in the run game. So you're just kind of, even if they're not big runs that are happening right now, they're just slowly gaining like just enough yards. And you're not really getting those plays that put a team either behind the sticks or losing yards. And that has kind of been, you know, where they've been suffering from down to down, even if the, like you said, the execution of some of these linebacker plays, making the tackle fairly early, has been good. They're not getting the big plays that really, you know, stuff a run game, you know, like you kind of would hope from some of these better run defenses across the league.
For sure. And that's something they actually were doing earlier in the season. Now they got to put it all together. Like, they can go first third of the season, stuffs, bad otherwise. Second half of the season, better, but no stuffs. Third of the season, put it all together. Hey, maybe they'll have a good run defense in the final 6 weeks here. That'd be cool. Dan Pizzuto is with us. He's great. Here, 33rd team, of course, is where you can check out his work. He's with us on the Hoffman Show. Just real quickly, Dan, on the way out here, this matchup this weekend against the Cowboys, they're obviously struggling mightily on both sides of the ball right now. If you got to wave your magic wand and fix something for the Cowboys that would make them a better football team, what's the number one thing that you would want to use your magic wand that I've now granted you on?
Yeah, that's tough because, like you said, kind of everything has gone wrong. I mean, you would kind of like them to, just from a watchability standpoint, to have a little better play at quarterback right now. But again, even when Dak Prescott was playing well, it's, you know, that offense just not very well structured and relying on kind of CeeDee Lamb to do a lot of things. I think what you would kind of really like to see from a Mike Zimmer defense is a run defense that stops anything. And I think, you know, why I'm not quite as concerned about this Washington offense over the next couple of games, because they do have some fairly easy opponents, is if this run game cannot get going against this Cowboys rush defense, then that's where you can be a little bit concerned about maybe getting a little bit of a, you know, Cliff Kingsbury not adjusting, because this team cannot stop the run, and that really takes away from a lot of the other things that Mike Zimmer could want to do in the pass defense. So if I could do something to start to fix Dallas, it would be figuring out how to stop the run, because everything goes off that, and right now they've been the worst run defense in the league, and it's just, you know, you can do kind of whatever you want when you're going on against them on the ground.
Dan, I'm so sorry. That was actually the incorrect answer. What we were looking for is curtains. We were looking for curtains in AT&T Stadium. That's actually, the wand was to put up the curtains. It wasn't to fix the football team. So I'm going to have to revoke your magic wand.
All right. So, well, this is going to be, what, a 1 p.m. game, right? So the curtains.
Yeah, and it's here. It's at Northwest Stadium. Right? So that wouldn't help them anyway, because it's in Washington. But still, the correct answer is clearly the curtains. If Jerry Jones would just be less stubborn about his curtains, everything else would fall into place.
I mean, I would probably, if I really had a magic wand for that franchise, it would probably be an owner that was probably not, you know, 80 years old and had a little bit of, you know, kind of forward thinking of how this roster could have been constructed last offseason before we got to this place. That is probably really the magic wand that the Cowboys should have used. But I think Jerry Jones kind of has the magic going over that, where even the magic wand waiting for that probably wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, that's actually the correct answer, but I didn't know how sports radio we wanted to go there. Dan, always great stuff, man. Great to have you back. Enjoy the weekend of football, and we'll be checking out your stuff at 33rd Team.
All right, appreciate it.
That is Dan Pizzuta, everybody, with us here on The Hoffman Show. Again, he wrote about the Commanders today, so if you want more great in-depth analysis of what he's seeing with Washington, some of the numbers, some of the trends, all that kind of stuff, check out his work at the33rdteam.com. When we get back here on The Hoffman Show, we go to a different website. We go from a very, very smart website where there's lots of great football information to the YouTube comments. That is right. It is Thursday. It'll be 5:30. Never read the comments is next.